Welcome back to Mountain Money, and we're pleased to have with us now Peter Buffett. And if you don't know him from his recordings, his film and television work, you might know him from his book, Life is What You Make It. You know, Peter, you wrote the theme to my favorite scene in my favorite movie, which is the fire dance scene in Dances with Wolves, with Kevin Costner exercising his inner Indian around the fire. And for that alone, I thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it was quite a moment for me, that's for sure.
And you know, with your musical career and your name Buffett, you'd think we were talking to Jimmy Buffett's brother, but actually we're talking to Warren Buffett's son.
That is exactly right. For most of my life, people just assume, because of the musical work, that I must be related to Jimmy.
And your book, Life is What You Make It, Finding Your Own Path to Fulfillment, is all about that, following your muse, not following what someone else says your life should be. And I suppose one would think that most people would think you should be working at Berkshire Hathaway in Omaha with your dad.
Yeah, they either think that or they think that following my muse would be pretty easy, because wouldn't my dad just write a check so I could do it? And both of those things aren't true. But my dad and I actually do the same thing. We do what we love, and that's what I was told I should do when I was young, do what I love, and I watched my dad do it every day. So
okay,
it's pretty simple.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. You didn't have the feeling that you were born into wealth and privilege, because your parents, solid Midwesterners, didn't raise you that way.
Exactly. I mean, I wasn't really sure what my dad did for most of my childhood, well, really all of my childhood, and it certainly wasn't displayed in the money he was making. Again, he loved what he did. He went off to the office, the same office he still goes off to every day. You know, he was doing that. And so the privilege growing up was being in a house where my parents were loving and nurturing, and I had grandparents two blocks away, and I walked to public school, and you know, that normal life was considered, that's what it was. It wasn't anything special.
And of course, we still have to ask the question, because in normal families, kids do the chores and they get an allowance. And did that happen in your family?
That did indeed. You know, I got 50 cents or whatever it might have been on the on a weekly basis for doing a few things around the house. And yeah, it was quite normal. The tooth fairy left a dime or a nickel or whatever.
That's what's so interesting about your story. Life is What You Make It, Finding Your Own Path. You were not given a lot of money to help you along your way, although you were given a fair amount, and you were given what amounted to at what, age 19, you were given $90,000 worth of Berkshire shares, which you immediately sold.
Right. And actually, you know, that's the thing. My grandfather left all of the grandkids a farm, and my dad sold that farm and bought Berkshire stock. So when we were 19, we had this really extraordinary head start, you know, but not what people would think in terms of millions and millions of dollars. But $90,000 that allowed me to buy some time so I could get into the music business, which my parents completely supported the idea. They knew I had always loved music, always played music. But I knew that was it. I knew that that's what I had to work with, and it made me work. I wasn't going to spend that money foolishly.
So literally, you bet the farm on your music career.
That's exactly right. I did.
And it worked out, although it would have worked out the other way, because I heard the calculation was if you'd kept your Berkshire shares, you'd be worth $70 million today. But it sounds like you're okay with that.
I am very okay with that. In fact, that's really the fun of telling the story, because I am living proof of what I call your money or your life, right? So I could have had a whole bunch of money, but it would have been somebody else's success and really somebody else's life. And instead, I bought my own life through this little bit of investment in myself, which I thought was more important, certainly. And you know, I ended up having a story I can tell my own successes and failures and things I've done on my own, and way more valuable than a pile of money.
You know, this may be my bias because I grew up just north of you on I-29 in Sioux Falls, and I think there's something about Midwestern common sense, being not very far a generation away from being rooted in on the farm, as your and your grandparents were on the farm.
Yeah.
You know, do you find the level of common sense exhibited by all of the Buffetts through the generations kind of the story of the Midwest?
Yeah, I think it really is. I mean, you know, and I think you can obviously find good, solid values anywhere, but there is something about that Midwestern ethic. I joke about the fact that my great-grandfather's name was Ernest and his brother's name was Frank. So they were Frank and Ernest in Omaha, and that sort of says it all. And I think it's really true.
That's fantastic. And I love the fact that you're talking about, basically you're talking about a value-based life instead of a life based on things.
Exactly. And again, it's what I saw. And I think that's so critical. As parents can tell you these things about how important it is to do this or that, but if they're not doing it themselves, it's a very difficult thing as a child to really know where the values lie. But with my parents, they were walking the talk. And I could see that loving what you did, not feeling entitled to anything, you know, that we're all in this boat together, you know, real egalitarian, humanitarian look at life. All those things were really important in my family growing up.
You know, Peter, we live in a resort town, great wealth, second homeowners and first homeowners who've retired here or relocated their businesses to Park City and Deer Valley, what advice, if you could summarize it in a few sentences, what advice do you have for the parents who are raising kids in this kind of privileged environment? Do you have to keep them on following their own muse instead of living off the parents?
Well, Ed, that is tough. I highly recommend they buy my book.
Of course.
Actually, and normally I would say that kidding, but actually that's really why I wrote the book, because it really is for both, you know, kids in transitional times in their life and adults, but the parents also who want to think really closely about how they're raising their kids and the fact that you sometimes think that writing a check or easing the pain somehow of a particular life path, life situation, is the best thing you can do and is somehow a show of love. But I tell you, my parents showed me respect, real respect and love, by saying, we believe in you, you can do it yourself. And then when I fell down, I picked myself up and learned a lot more by doing that than somebody else just, you know, writing a check to make my life a little easier.
And you picked one of the most competitive businesses there is.
Yeah, that's true, too. I didn't pick an easy one, that's for sure.
Well, and from what I've seen of your dad's musical genes, he can strum on the ukulele, but he was not going to make a living at that.
No, absolutely not, but he's pretty darn good at it. He can play a pretty good ukulele.
That's great. Now, you've been quoted as saying that you're not as optimistic about the system as your dad is. The system being, I suppose, business, is what you mean. What did you mean by that?
Well, I am, you know, a little bit disappointed in how certain things have turned out in our financial system. Certainly, a lot of people have taken the hit for that in terms of their pocketbook on, you know, what is famously called Main Street. I agree. You know, my dad has a wonderful long-term view, as he always has, and it's done very well for him, of this country and where it's come from and where it's headed. And I absolutely think he is nothing but optimistic, and I think that's great. And I share a lot of that optimism, but not all of it. I do think that we live in a different world today that is so global in nature that we have to think about systems in a different way, and we are not isolated. And I believe, you know, I learned a lot from working with the American Indian culture and Dances with Wolves and all of that, and nothing lasts forever. We know that, which doesn't mean it's the end of the world and, you know, everything's doom and gloom, but people have to learn to adjust and shift. And, you know, we know that there's not oil in the ground for the rest of the eternity. We know certain things have finite ends to them. But again, it's not doom and gloom as much as I think there just has to be shifts in certain kinds of behavior so that maybe we can all be better off, a little bit more balanced world, a little more equitable world. I'm all in favor of that, but I think that's going to take a little pain on some people's parts.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about one more thing, and then we'll let you move on. But your dad is giving away all of his money, but he did give $1 billion to each of the children as long as you used it for philanthropic projects. So he's really spreading the art of philanthropy through another generation.
Absolutely, and that's an extraordinary thing. We always knew that he would give his money away. We didn't know it was going to happen when he was alive and that we would play such a role in it, my sister, my brother, myself. And we all have our individual foundations. A lot of money, yes, but very difficult to deploy wisely and takes a lot more work than one might think. But it's an incredible opportunity, and my wife Jennifer and I are working hard to make it effective.
Very fine. Well, thanks for joining us, Peter Buffett. Your book is out in paperback now. Life is what you make it. Find your own path to fulfillment. You know, on the blurb on the front cover is from no less than Bill Clinton, who calls it wise and inspiring and should be required reading. So, Peter Buffett, thanks for joining us this morning on Mountain Money.
Thank you so much for having me.